Your industry is unique. It faces its own challenges and risks that set it apart. That means choosing just any insurance company just won't cut it. At The Hartford, we take pride in knowing the ins and outs of your industry and help provide solutions that suit how you do business. From liability and property insurance to workers' comp and more. At The Hartford, we don't just talk about specialization, we live it. Learn how The Hartford can help your business at thehartford.com.
You know success when you see it, or you think you do, the people in the spotlight. But what about those small business masterminds who succeed at making their money work harder? They do that by having a business bank account with QuickBooks Money, which now earns 5% annual percentage yield. Making your money work as hard as you do? That's how you business differently. Learn more about QuickBooks Money at quickbooks.com/5APY. Banking services provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Only funds and envelopes earn APY. APY can change at any time.
You're listening to Bloomberg Business Week with Carol Messer and Tim Stenovec on Bloomberg Radio.
We're going to stay in Miami and welcome in as well our Bloomberg TV audience and YouTube and Bloomberg Originals, our streaming service, because we've got a special guest. Kathy Wood is back with us. She's the founder, chief investment officer, and CEO of ARK Investment Management, joining us from St. Petersburg, Florida. Kathy, great to have you back with us. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. I'm really happy to be with you. And it is, so far, a Happy New Year.
It's definitely a different tone. Well, you know, it's interesting. We watched yesterday, continuing today, even though we're off our highs when it comes to stocks, Kathy, it seemed the more Jay Powell talked, the more, you know, excitement you saw and moves to the upside when it came to both stocks and bonds. Does this market reaction make sense to you, or do you see some irrational exuberance, if you will?
No, if anything, I saw an exaggerated reaction last year to fears that inflation and interest rates were embedded in the system like they were in the 70s. And we just didn't believe that at all. In fact, we were seeing a lot of early signs of inflation coming down, actual deflation surfacing. So this does not surprise us. I think what has happened here, there are three people who have weighed in the last week mm-hmm. who really have changed their points of view. One is Larry Summers. Larry Summers was almost apoplectic last year. So this is the former Treasury Secretary.
Right.
Almost apoplectic about inflation. And I think he truly influenced the Fed because he was so sure that we were in a 70s style inflation. If you'll notice in the last week, he said, okay, now don't signal what you're going to do in the future. We're seeing some economic weakness here. And I think the other thing he was saying, not explicitly, was, hey, some prices are coming down that I didn't expect to come down. You know, the oil price is roughly half of where it was last March. So that's the first person. The second person was Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen. And remember, I think the market last year got really upset when she changed her mind on transitory. And I think that fed Chairman Powell as well. And turned him into an even more hawkish mode, along with the rest of the Ford board members. She this week said that now that inflation is coming down, we're probably going to be looking at the bigger risk being kind of mired in low inflation, low growth.
Mm-hmm.
That was a big change. And it effectively says, wow, maybe it was transitory after all. It was just a little longer than we expected. Who knew supply chain problems would last 2 to 3 years? Who knew Russia would invade Ukraine? And then the third thing that happened, this was really important, I think, in the Q&A, Chairman Powell himself said, I agree with Lyle Brainard. We do not believe we're in the middle of a wage price spiral. And that's another code phrase for the 70s style inflation. So I think that is what the market's responding to.
Kathy, you've talked about, though, the threat of deflation. So what's your view on that versus inflation right here?
A couple of things. We see the deflation in the pipeline because commodity prices, which are at the top of the funnel, have been coming down on balance. Now, we're seeing right now some interruptions in that as China moves away from its zero COVID policy. But I think the fake out here is China has been building inventories, particularly of energy. It's been getting Russia's energy for a 40% discount to what the rest of us are paying. So why wouldn't it build inventories? So I think that fear is probably going to be, or has been, a little overblown in terms of ramifications for inflation. And I also don't think China's taking off. But anyway, we have the funnel. We had at holiday time massive discounting. And even though we had massive discounting in the fourth quarter, inventory accumulation accelerated. That was the biggest surprise to me. Wait a minute, final sales were that punk, that inventories built, even though retailers and others were trying to clear the shelves with these massive discounts? That was very interesting to me. So I think underlying demand here is basically the consumer is railing against price increases because real average wages have gone down. And the consumer is going to win this battle.
Kathy, I want to go back to the way that you characterized what we heard from the Fed and Jay Powell yesterday, because he also said some other things, like further rate hikes will be appropriate. It's premature to declare victory. We have a lot of work left to do. And if our outlook turns true, then I don't see us cutting rates this year. What convinces you that his views have changed?
Well, I think he is looking at the bond market, and he's saying what he should say as a Fed chairman who has been very concerned about inflation. He can't turn on a dime. But just look at what the bond market's saying. The long-term bond yield peaked in October at 4.3%. And today we got down to, I believe, 3.35%. You know, if you look at the 10-year bond yield as a proxy for what effectively nominal GDP, give or take a little, nominal GDP growth will be over the next 10 years, that doesn't leave a lot of room for much inflation if we're going to have real growth over the next 10 years. So I think the markets are speaking loudly. I think the inverted yield curve, we're still around 70 basis points. We haven't seen it this low since the early 80s when Volcker was trying to strangle inflation out of the system, and he did so successfully. So,
Kathy, forgive me. I want to jump in for a second. So are you expecting the Fed to cut rates this year?
I would not be surprised to see the Fed cut rates this year. And one of the other reasons that we're very focused on this message that the bigger risk is deflation, it's also a very big opportunity. When we look at deflation, there's good deflation and there's bad deflation. The bad deflation is caused by demand destruction. The good deflation creates demand. And that is what our research is centered on, which is technologically enabled innovation that rides down learning curves, which are expressed by cost declines, which turn into price declines. You'll notice that Tesla is cutting prices. And many people jump to the conclusion that, they're having so much trouble now, there's so much more competition. No, Tesla can cut prices now that supply chain issues are passing us because it is riding down a cost curve. The battery cost curve declines. And I think its battery costs are lower than anyone else's. Its drivetrain costs is more correctly said. Are lower than anyone's out there.
Right.
And so he wants to proliferate electric vehicles to save us from environmental disaster. That is his mission. And he is going to drive down prices. When you drive down prices, units explode. It's no surprise to us, even without price cuts last year, that electric vehicle demand was up more than 60%, while gas-powered demand was down, I believe, 7%. Yeah. The consumer preference shift has occurred. We are now in prime time for electric vehicles.
I want to go back to Tesla in a moment, but I want to go back to your ARK Innovation ETF. We've done the story on Bloomberg. You guys had the best month on record for the fund, up 28%. All ARK ETFs, all of the eight ETFs are up, seven of them in double digits. Do you see that as vindication for your investment theses? And do you think it can continue?
Yes, we believe that innovation was one of the biggest victims of the massive interest rate increase we saw last year. In less than a year, I think 18-fold increase in interest rates. It was like a massive earthquake. And the other victim, of course, was the other very long duration asset out there, long-term bonds. They were hit at least through October, if my numbers are correct. The long bond market had not seen that that bad a year since the 1700s. You know, we're not talking post-World War II. We're talking about the 1700s. That gives you a sense of the shock to the system and the shock to our strategy.
Your industry is unique. It faces its own challenges and risks that set it apart. That means choosing just any insurance company just won't cut it. You need a company with extensive experience in specialized insurance. At The Hartford, we take pride in knowing the ins and outs of your industry and helping provide coverage that suits your needs. The Hartford offers insurance solutions that help mid to large-sized businesses, like yours, effectively manage risk, from liability and property insurance to workers' comp and more. With extensive experience in underwriting, risk engineering services, and claims, The Hartford goes beyond the expected to deliver innovative, customizable solutions and service that your industry, that your business, demands. At The Hartford, we don't just talk about specialization, we live it. Learn how The Hartford can help your business at thehartford.com.
Hi, I'm Ron Kraszewski, Chairman and CEO of Stifel. Financial advisors, if you're not growing your practice, you're losing market share. Stifel is a growing, entrepreneurial, advisor-centric firm built for successful advisors like you. Imagine having the resources of the largest wirehouses and the support of the boutique shops, but none of the bureaucracy to get in the way of you serving your clients. At Stifel, it's your business, your book, your clients. I always tell the advisors we're recruiting, I want you to come to Stifel and double or triple your business. Most of them laugh and shake their heads, but I'm serious. Don't take it from me. Take it from Stifel's number one finish in J.D. Power's 2023 U.S. Financial Advisor Satisfaction Study. So, there's a reason why 148 financial advisors joined Stifel last year. Come join us and find out why Stifel is the firm where success meets success. Visit www.choosestifel.com.
Stifel Nicolaus and Company Incorporated, member SIPC and NYSE.
It was palpable. Boy, we felt it every time Chairman Powell spoke.
We're speaking with Kathy Wood, CEO of ARK Investment Management. Kathy, Carol just asked you about the performance in January, and she mentioned that it's the best month ever for the ARK Innovation ETF. The thing is that the jump in performance hasn't been met with in the way of flows, with investors putting money back into ARK. Perhaps this is because it's been a tough couple of years for the ETF and for many of your ETFs. How do you win them back?
Well, actually, I don't think we lost many investors. I think the shock to most people is how well we held our assets. In our underperformance started in February of 21 when people were starting to get vaccinated, going back to work, and these fears of inflation started to surface. So since February of 21, we have seen a massive down round in our innovation strategies. And in 21, we had very significant inflows, most of which we kept. I think the net was $17 billion that year. Last year, again, a horrific year. I think for the year, our flagship ARKK was up in flows, more than $1.5 billion. And I think that shocked a lot of people. What we saw was averaging down. Many of our loyal shareholders did average down. And I think one of the reasons they did is we were out there every step of the way, giving away our research, reassuring our clients that actually innovation solves problems. And we have so many problems now created by supply chain problems, the war, created by the Fed and the demand destruction, which is hurting margins, which technology will solve in terms of increasing productivity. And I think a because we are so prolific in our research, our analysts are amazing in terms of the kind of original research they're doing. So our clients and others are reading research from us that they're not seeing from anyone else or anyone at all.
And I want to get
even outside.
And I want to get into that in a moment, because I do love it, Kathy. Like, you've got over 150 pages in your big ideas for this year, and it's a lot of things that we talk about. What I do want to ask you, though, after a 67% drop in ARK Innovation, the ETF, last year, and I know it was a tough year for many assets, do you find any of your investors kind of treating ARK a little bit, you know, more cautiously?
I think one thing that happened last year is we were able, with a number of papers, we called it our ground war. We were trying to help investors and advisors understand that if you take a look at truly disruptive innovation, which is all we do, and you look at other growth portfolios, large cap growth, growth generally, as well as the major benchmarks like the NASDAQ, you won't find much truly disruptive innovation in them. And so as we were getting hit so badly, what we also saw is investors taking tax losses in some of NASDAQ and other strategies and moving into our strategy, which was hit so hard because mm-hmm. they did believe that we were going to rebound faster. We were hit the hardest. Our research would suggest that the $200 trillion that we expect by 2030 to be the market valuation placed on disruptive innovation,
right,
that hadn't changed. That hadn't changed. And so if you have a five-year investment time horizon, yes, you move into our strategy. And oh, by the way, we are the new NASDAQ, which is one of the ways we were trying to convey, look, if you want to look at the future and truly disruptive innovation, the way the NASDAQ performed in the 80s and 90s,
right,
that's where we went for innovation.
Well,
okay, look through that now. You will not find the kind of disruptive innovation. It certainly doesn't dominate those indexes, maybe 25% of them.
Well, that's the perfect segue, Kathy, to get you to weigh in on what we look for from the companies that are reporting this afternoon. Companies like Apple, Alphabet, Amazon. These are not companies that you necessarily are betting on. These are companies that you think can be disrupted. What do you watch for with them? What can they tell us about how the economy is and what ARK should be looking at?
Yes. Well, when I say we don't own those in our flagship strategy, we do own them in some of our more specialized strategies. But these are the companies that have enjoyed incredible success. They have created big, big markets. And to move up tenfold, a hundredfold from here is going to be difficult. We're not saying they're not going to be successful, but we are saying a few things. Take Amazon. Amazon is not a social network. We have moved into a world of social commerce. So we own Shopify. Shopify is supporting Instagram and TikTok and others that have that are taking really social commerce and scaling it. Amazon will not become a social network. It is not one. It's a good online retailer. And I would put it in a more mature category of online retail. That's not what we do. If you look at Google or Alphabet, everyone's talking about ChatGPT. And we do believe that it is going to put search at risk. Search is 95% of Google's revenues. Now, we also believe, however, that that Google is going to harness AI as well. I mean, it owns DeepMind. It is one of the best AI companies in the world. But I think it has been so caught up in fears about legal liability associated with the dangers created by
What about Microsoft, Kathy? And Microsoft's big investment in ChatGPT, do they have the potential to overtake Google when it comes to search because of the way they are harnessing AI?
I think that's the big threat. I think that's why Sundar went to Code Red at Google. I think they're going to become very aggressive. So yes, we absolutely are focused on what OpenAI and Microsoft are going to do together.
Kathy, you know, one thing is, and, you know, for our TV and our streaming service and YouTube, we've got, you know, the share prices of Apple, Amazon, Meta, and Alphabet up there. I mean, you're looking at Meta up more than 20% today. It was higher at its best levels of the session. I do like how you think about innovation and things that are going to be impacting us in years to come. Is the metaverse something that you guys think about, that this is an important trend, or TBD?
Well, in Japan, we sub-advise a fund for Nikko Asset Management called the Metaverse. So, yes, we are in the very early days of what will become very immersive digital experiences. In fact, we believe that more than half of our spending will end up online as opposed to through physical stores. And that's part of our big ideas this year. Our team, led by Frank Downing and Nick Bruce, have done a terrific job, Andrew, as well, pulling together how this new world is going to work. So absolutely we do. I think what happened with Meta last night, I listened to the call, it was fascinating. I think what's happening is Meta has an answer to TikTok. It's Reels, and Reels is taking off. They're also extremely focused on using artificial intelligence as they are activating this platform. And WhatsApp is also becoming a very important platform that they have not monetized, and now they're activating it. So really, really fascinating. And, you know, just to give you a sense, Delta is working through WhatsApp right now to inform passengers when something goes wrong, and improving customer service dramatically. So, you know, this could become a very big business use case. So, yes, lots of big markets that Facebook. The other thing that Mark did was use the word efficiency. He must have used 15 times.
Investors liked it.
And in that vein, he was using artificial intelligence as well. Because as we in Big Ideas, and you can find Big Ideas on arc-invest.com, in Big Ideas, we show the productivity increases that are possible because of artificial intelligence. It's these companies who could be some of the biggest beneficiaries if they harness AI correctly. I think a lot of people are looking for the killer app, like they look like these viral apps that the internet delivered.
Right.
The killer app for artificial intelligence is productivity gains. And any company does not harness it is probably not going to be one of the big winners out there. And just one other thing on AI. I think a lot of the hype is in companies that have AI in their names.
We talk about that all the time.
The real winners here are going to be those companies that have proprietary data and have lots of it, have the best domain expertise, best AI expertise, the best pools of high quality data to basically create new businesses.
In your Big Ideas paper, you, again, speaking of big ideas, and I love when we talk about this because everybody on Twitter has a comment, but you stick to your $1 million Bitcoin forecast, despite what we saw, I think about a 65% drop in it last year. People are saying to me, really? Does she really stick to this? Why the confidence in that, despite everything?
Well, the confidence actually was strengthened last year. Now, last year was a terrible year for everything crypto. But if you think about what happened, it was the centralized, opaque players who went bankrupt, FTX, Celsius, 3 Arrows Capital. And what did we see from Bitcoin? Bitcoin is completely decentralized and transparent. It started because of 08-09, the lack of transparency in the traditional financial services ecosystem. And I remember when we did our research, and Art Laffer, I mentioned him. I mentioned him the first time he was on your show. He took us through what Bitcoin meant to him, and it was, wow, Art. This is a rules-based monetary, it's a rules-based digital monetary system, and it's global, and there's no human intervention. It's very disciplined. It's mathematically metered to top out at 21 million units. Well, in the last year, the response to, in the last 3 years, the responses to COVID, the fiscal and monetary responses that, you know, in many countries are causing hyperinflation and, you know, fiscal crises. We're seeing protests and riots all over the place. Well, where do these people go for an insurance policy against an implosion in their purchasing power and wealth? It is in something like Bitcoin. Bitcoin is an insurance policy, and it is an insurance policy for the for everyone against confiscation of wealth.
So you're not tempering any of your thoughts, even with what happened last year. And if anything, you're kind of doubling down on your conviction because of what happened last year. Is that fair?
Yeah. We tempered a few assumptions. We thought, led by Tesla and Block, formerly Square, and MicroStrategy, that more corporations would put coin on their balance sheets. That we've dialed that one down considerably. And the same thing with nation states. El Salvador they're sticking to their guns on this one, and actually are doubling down, I believe, in terms of bond issuance backed by Bitcoin. But other countries will probably not move as quickly as they might have if El Salvador had had, you know, a grand swoosh right off the bat. We do think it will happen. It's just we've pushed it out a bit. So I think our base case for Bitcoin now is in 5 years, I think roughly 670,000, something like that. And then by 2030, as we see more use cases and more of these insurance policies taken out against fiscal and policy regimes are not healthy, we think it could pass $1 million.
Kathy, we don't have a ton of time, and I want to make sure to get to a few more of your big ideas in your research for 2023. We've talked about AI, we've talked about crypto, we've talked a little bit about batteries and Tesla. In the last 30 seconds, or just last couple of minutes that we have with you, let's talk about a few more, specifically robotics. What's appealing to you and what's exciting to you? What do you see as investment opportunities for robotics?
Well, I think everyone thinks robots have been around forever, and they kind of have, but they've been locked in cages inside auto companies and so forth. What we have now is really the dawn of the age of robotics. It's really going to happen because of battery technology and artificial intelligence. And we're talking about industrial robots. Amazon is adding 1,000 robots per day. And by the year 2030, we think they will have that Amazon will have more robots than people, even though they will continue to increase their employment roles. Robots will increase faster. Why is this happening? Well, as always with technology, the technology is ready. And even more important, the costs are low enough now. And the technology, really AI, battery technology, critically important. And the costs, if we use Wright's law, for every cumulative doubling in the number of industrial robots produced, costs will decline by 50%. I think it's even more than that. Given the massive labor shortages that have been exposed, and we still have around the world, some of it's demographic, some of it's COVID related, the aftershocks. We think the time is ripe for robotics now. So, and you know, Tesla is a robotics company, autonomous vehicles, which is where we're going.
Right.
Those are robots. Those are robots. So we think we're going to see a lot of robots rolling around, flying in the air, drones and so forth. So, you know, and collapsing the cost of transportation.
Well, I don't know if that's so great for me. I don't know, Carol.
I'll take it. I'll take a robot to do everything. Kathy, we really only have about 25 seconds left. So quickly, if you've got some new money to commit, what's the name you buy? Is it Tesla right now?
Well, Tesla is the number one position in two of our funds, ARKK and ARKQ. And we even have it in ARKW because it is probably the best case of a convergence between and among the most massive innovation opportunities of our lifetimes. Robotics, autonomous vehicles or robots, energy storage, they will be electric, and artificial intelligence, they'll be powered by AI. So that's one S-curve feeding another S-curve feeding another S-curve.
Going to leave it there. I feel like we go around the world with you, Kathy, and so appreciate it. Kathy Wood, she's the CEO, she's the founder, she's the CIO of ARK Investment. Check out her big ideas, 2023, 153 pages. You can find it online at ARK Invest. Kathy, thank you so much for joining us from Florida.
Your industry is unique. It faces its own challenges and risks that set it apart. That means choosing just any insurance company just won't cut it. At The Hartford, we take pride in knowing the ins and outs of your industry and help provide solutions that suit how you do business, from liability and property insurance to workers' comp and more. At The Hartford, we don't just talk about specialization, we live it. Learn how The Hartford can help your business at thehartford.com.
Success. It's discipline. It's teamwork. It's the drive and passion inside of us that comes before all recognition. It's the best of each of us made better by the best in all of us. It's what Stifel's been doing for over 130 years. And it's why Stifel is one of the fastest growing global wealth management and investment banking firms in the industry. Stifel. It's where success meets success. Start your journey at stifel.com. That's STIFEL.com.
Stifel Nicolaus and Company Incorporated, member SIPC and NYSE.